Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are moving higher. Now, let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, modest gains in the futures right now, with Dow futures up 13 points, S&P's gained 3, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 7.5. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.96%, and Shanghai rose 1.8% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly lower this morning, but note that Adidas beat estimates and trades higher by 7%. In Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims and the producer price index, and at 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories. After the bell last night, 21st Century Fox beat estimates. And in deal news, Rite Aid and Albertsons agree to terminate their merger. Rite Aid is trading lower by 11% in the pre-market, and Tribune terminated its merger with Sinclair. In other news, Morgan Stanley warned on chip stocks, saying elevated inventory and stretched lead times mean a demand slowdown. And wrapping things up, Southern Company was downgraded to equal weight at Barclays. Seagate downgraded to sell at Goldman Sachs, and Applied Materials cut to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, British Prime Minister Theresa May has welcomed the U.S. decision to impose sanctions on Russia over the nerve agent attack on a former spy earlier this year in the U.K. May's office issued a statement saying the move sends an unequivocal message to Russia that its provocative, reckless behavior will not go unchallenged. Argentina's Senate has rejected a bill to legalize elective abortion in the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won, along with the Orioles and A's. The Nationals lost. Preseason NFL action tonight. The Giants host the Browns. The Patriots host the Redskins. The Ravens host the Rams. The 49ers host the Cowboys. Today begins round one of the PGA Championship. You can hear live coverage of the event starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Finally, from daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, for all the dads out there, there is a shoe for us. They're called dad shoes. And Adidas, or Adidas, or Adidad, see what I did there, says that the trend is the latest thing for sneaker fans. Bob, the shoe is really a chunkier and brawnier version of the designs from the 1980s and 90s.
Appropriate, is it not? Chunkier and brawnier?
Yeah, that's how my body turned out.
I used to shop at the big and tall section. Now it's chunky and brawny.
That was you in line, huh? Global news 24 hours a day on internet, TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, as he continues his working vacation in Bedminster, New Jersey, President Donald Trump participates in roundtable with state leaders on prison reform. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo meets World Bank President Jim Yong Kim at the State Department. And Vice President Mike Pence plans a speech at the Pentagon to lay out the Trump administration's plan for a sixth branch of the military, a force dedicated to defending U.S. assets in space. Let's explore some of the other D.C. developments making news with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning and welcome. The U.S. sanctions Russia, more threatened for the nerve agent use that Russia is accused of. And Russia isn't likely to take this lightly as the ruble plunges.
That's right. It's basically sent the Russian markets into a bit of a tailspin this morning. But I think the main thing that we're hearing this morning out of Moscow is a pledge to retaliate. And, you know, whether it's China or now Russia, you know, it seems like this is an effort on the part of the administration to look like it's getting tough in this case on Moscow. Trump was under a lot of pressure to do that after his performance in Helsinki last month, where he was widely panned as appearing too close to Putin and to perhaps going too easy on Putin in terms of his perception of what Putin had to say about Russian election meddling. So I think this is perhaps a bit of a response to some of the domestic criticism that Trump has faced since the summit.
It's interesting. The rhetoric doesn't seem to match the actions that Washington is taking.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows a bit of a disconnect between kind of what the administration's doing in terms of these sanctions and what Trump himself, how Trump himself views his relationship with Putin. I think that what we're hearing from Trump is a lot of talk about how it's very good for him to have this sort of warm and open relationship with Putin and be able to talk to him openly and talk of another summit. But the reality is that all of that talk that's coming from Trump's mouth is really fueling a lot of concerns in Washington and abroad about whether the U.S. is going to take a tough enough stance against Moscow. So we're kind of seeing the administration sort of taking these sanction steps to try to quell some of those concerns.
We have this insider trading case involving Capitol Hill, and it really shows that lawmakers face very few limits on investing in stocks.
They do. There was some legislation that passed a few years ago that sought to address this a little bit, but the penalties involved weren't particularly tough. It is interesting and worth noting that this prosecutors are calling this the first insider trading case that's been brought at the federal level against a sitting U.S. congressman. And so that makes it pretty distinctive in that case, and it may end up paving the way for some other cases or even at least have a bit of a chilling effect on members of Congress and how they view their trades if they feel like they're going to be susceptible to, you know, scrutiny by federal prosecutors or more strict scrutiny by federal prosecutors. But the reality is when it comes to what's allowed legally and what isn't, there are lots and lots of potential conflicts of interest that members of Congress face and not a lot of specific guidance or legislation directly related to lawmakers.
On the other hand, to be fair to lawmakers, almost anything you can do is going to affect business.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of members of Congress actually traditionally have put their holdings into a blind trust while they are serving to avoid these kinds of conflicts. Because just to your point exactly, you know, if you're a member of Congress and let's say you sit on, you know, the Energy and Commerce Committee, the range of issues that come before that panel that you could potentially have bearing on, I think, is really vast. And so that is certainly something that lawmakers have chosen to do in the past to try to minimize the possibility they could get in trouble for this.
And finally, developments expected on NAFTA?
Yeah, so it's once again, we're hearing signs of optimism. The U.S. and Mexico have been kind of doing a little bit of one-on-one negotiating, sort of leaving Canada out in the cold. And what we're hearing now is some optimism from the U.S. and Mexico that they could get a deal by week's end on one of the thorniest, if not the thorniest, issue that's been holding up the talks, which is autos. And so if they were to get that deal, they're saying that could open up the door for Canada being involved again in the negotiations and things really moving forward. It could be a real significant breakthrough. But I guess I remain a bit cautiously optimistic or cautiously skeptical of that, given, you know, the setbacks we've had in the past.
I wonder why. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It is now 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Democrats have sensible, tactical reasons for demanding every last piece of paper about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's tenure in White House jobs. They're only doing what Republicans did in the past. But any senators who want moderation in general, and abortion rights in particular, already have enough information to oppose Kavanaugh. Mitch McConnell reportedly wanted a different nominee because he realized that Kavanaugh's positions in government would make confirmation a headache just from the sheer volume of the record, which only means that the demands for disclosure threatened to rob the court of people with any record of public service. To be clear, I'm not saying senators should ignore Kavanaugh's history, but there's enough on the public record already. Senators from both parties are increasingly constructing a process which pushes presidents to choose only the stealthiest of stealth nominees, inexperienced, uninteresting lawyers with as little a public record as possible. And that's bad for the court and for democracy. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. John.
And good morning, Karen. Move over APR. A bill before California's Assembly would require online lenders like Lending Club and OnDeck Capital to ditch annual percentage rate, APR, in favor of a new metric when disclosing small business loan costs. The bill, which has already passed the state Senate, would require non-bank small business lenders to estimate the annualized cost of capital, ACC, to disclose financing costs. So far, it's an untested metric. With nearly 4 million small businesses, California represents a large market for fintech lenders. Five of the largest online lenders funded about $1.6 billion to about 22,000 California small businesses from 2015 to 2017. The Federal Reserve Board sent a report this year that small business owners are increasingly turning to fintech lenders to meet their financing needs, but struggle to understand the costs and fees associated with different credit. That's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Again, we are watching shares of Rite Aid this morning, down about 14% right now in early trading. Rite Aid and Albertsons agreeing to end their transaction that would have helped reshape the U.S. retail and healthcare industries. This is opposition to the transaction increased before a shareholder vote. And we also heard this morning Tribune Media announcing it was terminating its merger pact with Sinclair Broadcast. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning, they are little change. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.95%. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with two scrapped mergers. Rite Aid and Albertsons have agreed their transaction that would have helped reshape the U.S. retail and healthcare industries as opposition to the transaction increased before a shareholder vote. Rite Aid shares are down 9%. And a few minutes ago, Tribune Media announced it was terminating its merger pact with Sinclair Broadcast.
The ruble is trading at a two-year low after the U.S. announced new sanctions on Russia, calling Moscow responsible for the U.K. nerve agent attack in March. And Turkey's lira is plunging to a record low as a dispute over the detention of an American pastor drags on.
China's factory inflation held up in July, even as commodity prices eased. The producer price index rose 4.6% from a year earlier. The consumer price index climbed 2.1%.
Here in the U.S., the government issues the producer price index, a measure of wholesale inflation. Economists are forecasting a July increase of 0.2%. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice with the story.
In June, the producer price index rose 0.3%, the sixth consecutive increase. Bloomberg Economics says the combination of strong economic growth and trade tensions could fuel inflation in the months ahead. Tariffs translate into higher export costs. The Fed, of course, has been on guard for inflation in general and tightening to keep it in check. Look for more inflation data Friday, the consumer price index. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Tesla shares down 1%. Regulators are now said to be investigating Elon Musk's claim that he had funding secured for the $82 billion deal to take the electric car maker private. According to the Wall Street Journal, the SEC had asked the company if what Musk tweeted was factual and why it was made in social media rather than in a filing.
Dun and Bradstreet, the 177-year-old provider of commercial data, agreed to be bought by investors including Thomas H. Lee Partners in a transaction valued at $6.5 billion.
Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 18, NASDAQ futures up 10, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.5%, CAC in Paris down 0.2%, FTSE 100 down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.96%, the yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $66.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $12.2240 an ounce. The euro, $1.1598. The British pound, $1.2898. And the yen this morning at 111.14. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Temperatures rising with the Kremlin. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the latest now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Russia is threatening to retaliate after the Trump administration announced a new round of sanctions. The new sanctions against Moscow are over the poisoning of a former Russian spy and his daughter in Britain earlier this year. The first round of penalties will go into effect this month. The threatened measures caused the ruble to slide to its lowest levels in 2 years. New York Congressman Chris Collins is promising to fight charges of insider trading. Collins pleaded not guilty yesterday to charges related to shares of an Australian biotech company. In a statement, Collins emphasized that the charges are meritless and that he'll mount a vigorous defense to clear his name.
I look forward to being fully vindicated and exonerated.
Collins' Democratic challenger, Nate McMurray.
While he was bragging about making millionaires in D.C. and using the People's House for that purpose, he was not serving the people of NY27.
Collins is out on bail after being arrested yesterday. A suspect is in custody accused of starting the holy fire in California's Cleveland National Forest. Orange County deputies say they arrested 51-year-old Forrest Clark yesterday following an email he allegedly sent warnings that, quote, this place will burn, among others. He reportedly has lived for a decade in a cabin in Holy Jim Canyon, the only one of 14 structures in the area left standing. A state of emergency is in effect in Charlottesville as the city closes in on the anniversary of a violent white nationalist rally. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and the city of Charlottesville say the declaration streamlines state and local operations for the weekend and allocates $2 million in state funds. It also authorizes the Virginia National Guard to be used to maintain safety. The organizer of last year's Unite the Right rally, Jason Kessler, was denied a permit to mark the anniversary in Charlottesville, so he's pressing ahead with plans for a rally in Washington this Sunday. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
The U.S. official says the Turkish delegation to Washington refused to commit to releasing an American pastor as both sides are trying to avoid an escalating feud. The meetings came as Turkey seeks to avoid an economic meltdown amid a fallout from U.S. sanctions over the continued detention of the pastor. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees with an impressive combination in Chicago on Wednesday. Luis Severino was his old self, and so was Giancarlo Stanton.
Swung on, hit high in the air to right. Garcia going back on the track near the wall, and she is gone! It's a grand slam! I think it hit off the base of the foul pole. It's a grand slam! A Stantonian home run.
Yankees radio, first grand slam in 4 seasons for Stanton, and Sweet Lou picked up his first win in a month as Severino fanned 8 in 7 strong innings, improving to 15-5. Yankees return home to host Texas. Jay Happ gets the ball for New York, who opens play 4 games up on Oakland, 7 on Seattle for the wild card. Mets roughed up the Reds 8-0 at Citi Field. Jacob deGrom has an ERA of 1.77 after hurling 6 scoreless innings, striking out 10. Mets are off Thursday as they travel to Miami for a weekend set. NFL preseason slate is full tonight as the Giants open their schedule at home versus the Browns. It's the highly anticipated debut of Saquon Barkley for the G-Men. Jets' Sam Darnold will have to wait his turn until Friday when New York hosts the Falcons. In golf's final major, the PGA Championship begins this morning in St. Louis. First pairings starting just before 8 a.m. Tiger Woods knows it'll be challenging on the greens.
No, I don't think they're going to be the smoothest of greens that we played on, but, you know, everyone's got to play them. You know, we're going to have some putts where we hit good putts and they're going to kind of wobble offline. But then again, you can actually put some pretty good heat behind it as well.
Woods is paired with Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, teeing off just before 9:30. Bloomberg Radio is your home for PGA Championship play-by-play beginning at 4:15. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thank you very much. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Zimbabwe's hopes for an election free of violence and manipulation have been dashed, and President-elect Emmerson Mnangagwa is preparing to take office under a cloud. But he still has ample chance to help the country's long-suffering people. First, the new president should heed calls to let legal challenges to the election play out and hold accountable those responsible for violence. Beyond that, he needs to deepen and accelerate economic reform. Zimbabwe has more than 100 dysfunctional state companies that should be privatized or shut down. Government payrolls are stuffed with patronage jobs whose wages eat up almost all the national budget. Strict fiscal discipline is needed. Over the long run, giving Zimbabweans a greater stake in their economic future will raise their expectations, increase their power at the ballot box, and improve their chances for a future as rich as the land they inhabit. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, which is 6:38 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Makers of household refrigerators and freezers are being allowed to use larger amounts of more climate-friendly chemicals as coolants, eliminating what the industry has long identified as a barrier to limiting potent greenhouse gas refrigerants. A new Environmental Protection Agency rule allows household appliance manufacturers to use more than double the amount of climate-friendly replacements for a common hydrofluorocarbon or HFC refrigerant. The HFCs are greenhouse gases that are hundreds of times more potent than carbon dioxide. Household refrigeration makers, including Whirlpool and Samsung Electronics America, have long asked the EPA to increase the allowable amount of the less polluting chemicals. The companies have said they would struggle to meet requirements set by a 2016 global deal to phase down HFCs. While the HFC alternatives, such as isobutane and propane, have a lower global warming potential, some are mildly flammable, but the EPA concluded that safety trade-offs are within acceptable limits. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. A shakeup at Danish jewelry maker Pandora. CEO Anders Kolding Friis will step down at the end of the month. Pandora lost almost a quarter of its market value earlier this week when it cut its profit forecast for the full year. The company says it has a number of problems, including weaker than expected sales of new charm bracelets and rising costs. S&P futures currently up 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures adding 14 points. NASDAQ futures up by 8 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield is up to 2.9586%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking to mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Russian and Turkish assets are getting hammered. The ruble tumbled and Russian stocks and bonds fell after the US imposed new sanctions over a nerve agent attack in the UK. In Turkey, the lira plunged and the 10-year yield climbed. An official said a delegation from President Erdogan failed to get a deal over a detained American pastor at a meeting in Washington, D.C. 21st Century Fox's earnings topped estimates as its deal with Disney nears completion. The company laid out plans for a new life anchored by popular TV programming and the NFL. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, thank you, Hannah. Right now, S&P futures are higher, up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 32. NASDAQ futures up about 14. So we are seeing futures gain a little strength now. The DAX in Germany also gaining strength, up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $66.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $2.40 to $12.23.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1606, and the yen, 111.14. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Virginia's governor and the city of Charlottesville have declared a state of emergency ahead of the anniversary of a violent white nationalist rally. In August of 2017, a 32-year-old woman was killed when she was struck by a car that plowed into counter-protesters. The death toll from the earthquake that hit the Indonesian island of Lombok on Sunday is now at 227. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox won, along with the Orioles and A's. The Nationals lost. Preseason NFL action tonight. The Giants host the Browns. The Patriots host the Redskins. The Ravens host the Rams. The 49ers host the Cowboys. And today begins round one of the PGA Championship. You can hear live coverage of the event starting at 4:15 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. Good morning. A bunch of economic data today. We get the PPI, also jobless claims. Let's dive a little deeper into it with Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist, Bloomberg Economics. With the inflation data we get today, Carl, first of all, good morning. Are we going to see any tariff impact?
I think we will see some tariff impact in the data. And good morning, John. Thanks for inviting me back on the program. We've seen some acceleration in just the last couple of months, and especially those earliest tariffs to come through, like solar panels and washing machines. And now we're starting to see evidence of the arrival of the tariffs on steel and aluminum product. And I suspect we'll see that trend continue to accelerate when we look at the July numbers. Now, if we just zoom in on our charts and look at the last year or two, we can see a dramatic acceleration in these types of metal prices. And the first part of that acceleration is due to the pickup in overall global economic activity, certainly led by what's happening in the U.S. If we look to the far end of that chart, we do see what I'll call a dog leg higher due to the imposition of those tariffs.
Okay.
However, we need to take it in perspective.
There's always a however from you.
Exactly. If we look at the broader economic cycle, we've been running at paces like this for inflation of steel and aluminum products in 2010 and 2011 of this cycle. So, yes, there's an impact, but this is not unprecedented territory.
Okay. In addition to that, does it get offset by lower wages? And what does that, if so, what does that do for the optionality for the Fed?
Well, that's an excellent question, John. The fact that wage pressures are not picking up to a meaningful degree means that any impulse on the inflation front is likely to not be sustained, whether it's steel and aluminum price increases, a run-up in gasoline prices like we saw earlier this year. It will be just that, a one-time shock that is not likely to be sustained, and in fact will merely pull revenue from other spending categories and cause disinflation elsewhere in the consumer or producer price basket.
Okay. I'm a consumer, so I care more about CPI tomorrow. What are we going to see there?
Well, the CPI tomorrow, we should see a pretty tame increase, just 0.2 in the headline, 0.2 in the core. But what's interesting here is we're starting to see some evidence of moderation in the back half of the year. So we're seeing this on the GDP front, the growth front, the consumer spending front. We're also seeing it on the inflation front. If I look at, for instance, the 3- and 6-month rates of change, they're starting to drop below the 12-month rate of change, or the year-on-year change. That tells us that that pickup we saw manifesting in the first half of the year has less of an upward slope than what initially appeared to be the case. By no means am I saying that inflation is rolling over. I just think that in the back half of this year, we'll see that there's less pressure than we thought. And going back to your question on the Fed, that will reduce the pressure on the Fed to continue delivering quarterly rate increases. I think September is a fait accompli. I think December is still very much up in the air.
Okay. Jobless claims, robust labor market, or are we seeing a slowdown?
We're in a very robust territory. There's some odd fluctuations that happen around this time of year in the July and August timeframe. Part of that is due to a lot of seasonal hiring and layoffs that take place around this time of year. Also, the auto sector retools for the new model year. So if we, again, zoom back as macroeconomists and look at the bigger picture, it points to a robust labor market and very lean conditions in terms of labor slack. That being said, you highlighted that we're not seeing a lot of wage pressure just yet. So if the economy is indeed accelerating and we're looking for 2018 to be the strongest year of the cycle, until labor becomes more expensive, then employers will simply add more workers. So faster GDP translates directly into faster hiring. We're seeing just that with 200,000 plus on non-farm payrolls.
Okay. You actually sounded like a one-handed economist. Thank you, Carl. I appreciated that. Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist. Bloomberg Economics ahead of the market open. S&P futures are now 4 points higher. Dow futures up 28. Again, we get jobless claims today as well as PPI. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock where you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, August 9th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the ruble tumbles as the U.S. announces new sanctions on Russia over the U.K. nerve agent attack.
The lira drops to a record as Turkey-U.S. tensions worsen.
Rite Aid and Albertsons call off their merger.
The SEC is said to be probing Tesla CEO Elon Musk's tweets.
The latest fallout from Congressman Chris Collins and his arrest on insider trading. Plus, authorities say a wildfire in California is the work of an arsonist. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Yankees sweep the White Sox to get back on track. Saquon Barkley makes his debut tonight, and the PGA Championship gets underway.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 2 points. Dow futures up 2 as well. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is little changed, up less than 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.25%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 2 cents to $66.93 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.1%, up 80 cents to $12.21.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1595, and the yen, 111.14. Bob.
Karen, the ruble is trading at its lowest level since November 2016 after the U.S. announced new sanctions on Russia. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in London.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The United States is punishing President Putin's government for the March 4th nerve agent attack. This was on former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter, which took place in the United Kingdom. The sanctions are set to take effect on August 22nd. They limit exports to Russia of U.S. goods and technology considered sensitive on national security grounds. And secondly, we could see far more extensive sanctions if Russia does not provide assurances it will no longer use chemical or biological weapons and will follow on-site inspections. The second round could include a downgrade in diplomatic relations, blanket bans on import of Russian oil and exports of all other goods and technology aside from agricultural products, and limits on loans from U.S. banks. I'm Anne-Marie Hordern in London, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Anne-Marie, thank you. The lira is trading at another record low this morning. The currency plunged more than 3%, taking this year's losses to almost 30% after a U.S. official said a Turkish delegation refused to commit to releasing an American pastor. The tensions are adding to investor concern over authorities' inability to put a lid on inflation.
In Asia, China's factory inflation held up in July, even as commodity prices eased. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
Bob, Karen, the producer price index rose 4.6% from a year earlier, stronger than a projected 4.5% in a Bloomberg survey. The consumer price index up 2.1% versus a forecast of an even 2%. Now, China's plans to boost infrastructure investment might help domestic demand, and it might counter the risks posed by the tariff wars. So far this year, factory gate prices have defied expectations they'd ease to half the pace of last year. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Radio.
Brian, thank you. Here in the U.S. this morning, we get the first of this week's two key reports on inflation. Economists are forecasting producer prices rose 0.2% in July. Gina Smilek covers the economy for Bloomberg News.
So this PPI number is really interesting because a lot of folks are looking for any tariff impact that we might be seeing in inflation to show up in PPI first. The major caveat is it probably is premature for it to show up this month just because a lot of the major tariffs we've been talking about now wouldn't be in this report. I think what's really going to be interesting, though, is to watch the CPI, which comes a day later, and which could confirm this idea that inflation is moving up steadily toward and even above the Fed's 2% target. And so the Fed obviously does not look at CPI as their primary metric. They're more focused on the Commerce Department PCE index, but they are going to be interested in the CPI just as sort of an indicator of how things are moving.
Bloomberg's Gina Smiley, thank you. Tesla shares are down 1% this morning. The Securities and Exchange Commission is said to be investigating this week's tweet from Elon Musk. Bloomberg's John Tucker is live with the latest. Good morning.
And good morning, Bob. According to the Wall Street Journal, regulators have asked Tesla if what Musk tweeted was factual and why such a disclosure was made via social media rather than in a filing. Musk vowed on Twitter that he had secured funding for a spectacular $82 billion deal to take Tesla private. It sent the shares of the company initially soaring. So far, Musk has offered no evidence to back up his statement. David Rubenstein, co-founder of the Carlyle Group, has taken numerous companies private. He says he's never seen anything like this.
Well, the board obviously has to retain an independent set of advisors, because if the CEO of a publicly traded company is leading a buyout, you have some potential conflict.
He made the comments on Bloomberg Surveillance yesterday. According to a statement from six of Tesla's nine directors that came out yesterday, Musk raised the go-private possibility with the board last week. They said he had addressed the funding for this to occur without providing details. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Rite Aid and Albertsons have agreed to scrap a merger that would have reshaped the retail and healthcare industries in the U.S. The transaction was opposed by two prominent proxy advisors. Rite Aid shares are down more than 6%.
Commercial data provider Dun & Bradstreet is going private in a deal valued at $6.5 billion. The buyers are a consortium that includes the private equity firm Thomas H. Lee Partners. Dun & Bradstreet's profit has fallen by more than half since 2014.
In Europe, shares of Adidas are up more than 7%. The German sportswear giant posting second quarter revenue and profit that beat analysts' expectations, lifted by sales of soccer merchandise and growth in the U.S. and Asia.
Deutsche Telekom is forecasting higher full-year earnings, bolstered by growth in the U.S. That underscores the importance of a planned deal for its U.S. unit T-Mobile to buy Sprint for $26.5 billion. Deutsche Telekom is the market leader in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, where growth is hard to come by.
And a shakeup at Danish jewelry maker Pandora. CEO Anders Kolding Friis will step down at the end of the month. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. The latest on an insider trading case. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Republican Congressman Christopher Collins of Western New York is vehemently denying charges. He gave inside information he gleaned from sitting on the board of an Australian biotechnology company to his son. Prosecutors say the information he shared helped family and friends dodge hundreds of thousands of dollars in losses when a company drug failed in a medical trial. Collins says he will fully be exonerated.
The charges that have been levied against me are meritless, and I will mount a vigorous defense in court to clear my name.
Collins' Democratic challenger in November, Nate McMurray.
I take no joy in the terrible news we heard today, and I would be wrong if I were to gloat I'm sure Chris Collins and his family are going through a great amount of turmoil right now.
Collins, a staunch supporter of President Trump, has pleaded not guilty and said he will remain on the ballot for re-election. There are startling new revelations about a ramshackle New Mexico compound where 11 hungry children were found living in filth. Prosecutors said the father was training youngsters to commit school shootings. Southern California fire and police officials believe the so-called Holy Fire that began Monday is the work of an arsonist. An angry Orange County supervisor, Todd Spitzer, spoke to the media.
This is a monster who would go out with low humidity and high wind and the highest heat temperatures this time of the year and intentionally set the forest on fire.
51-year-old Forrest Gordon Clark is being held in lieu of $1 million bail and is set to be arraigned today. President Trump's planned Space Force is being cleared for takeoff. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports from Washington.
Vice President Mike Pence has a speech at the Pentagon later this morning to lay out the administration's plans. They'd consolidate responsibility for defending U.S. assets in space under a distinct military branch rather than the Air Force, which largely does it now. It would also create a new member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as a service secretary to the Space Force. The Washington Post was first to report plans for Pence's speech. A White House official confirmed it in an email to Bloomberg. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Luis Severino picked up his first win in a month. Giancarlo Stanton belted his first Grand Slam in 4 years as the Yankees swept the White Sox 7-3 on the South Side Wednesday night. Stanton on his Grand Slam.
It's a test, a big test for me. Just got to get a good pitch to hit. He's going to throw me his best stuff to try to get me out, try to get me a strike out there. So just get some out over and put a good bear on it.
Severino improved to 15-5 after striking out 8 in 7 innings. Yankees were efficient offensively. 7 players had just 1 base hit. New York stays 4 games ahead of Oakland in the wild card. They're now 7 up on Seattle. Yankees welcome the Rangers tonight. Jay Happ on the mound for New York. Mets whitewashed the Reds 8-0 at Citi Field. Jacob deGrom, despite having a subpar record, lowered his ERA to 1.77 after getting run support in 4 of the 8 frames for New York. Brandon Nimmo and Austin Jackson each had 3 base hits for the Mets. NFL preseason schedule gets underway for many teams tonight, including the Giants and coach Pat Shurmur, who was asked how he determines who carries the workload.
Well, I think we got to give them what they need. And again, they're all at different stages of being ready to play in week one. So we just try to balance it and make good decisions based on whether we think it's right from the beginning of the game.
It's the much-anticipated pro debut of Giants running back Saquon Barkley. They host the Browns tonight, while the Jets entertain Atlanta on Friday. And the PGA Championship, golf's 4th and final major, gets underway in St. Louis. Tiger Woods is paired with last year's champ Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, teeing off just before 9:30. Bloomberg Radio serves as home for PGA play-by-play beginning at 4:15, both Thursday and Friday. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. S&P futures currently up 3 points. That is a 0.1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 2/32. The yield at 2.9586%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And the sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.